Monday, December 22nd, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 1 with part 2 of last week's message titled, What Christmas is All About.
Isaiah 40 is telling us that a bright future is ahead for us. They who wait for the Lord, they shall renew their strength. For they shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. That's the promise of the Lord to all who look to this wonderful Savior whom He's provided. This is what we celebrate. This is what it's all about. And you know what? In all of the sins that you've ever committed, Jesus is sufficient to forgive them all.
And now, here's Pastor Chris with today's message.
The people could not see that everything was going poorly and the heavy hand of the Lord had fallen on them because no one was taking sin seriously. Isn't that something? Everyone was afraid to talk about sin. Nobody wanted to talk about sin. The beginning of this book, Isaiah had to face that. As he was going to go out and be a prophet, the first thing Isaiah had to be confronted with was something great. Remember? You're going to go out, send me, I want to go preach. And all of a sudden, he sees the glory of the Lord and the angels in heaven, the glorious train of his robe, and the angels in heaven are flying around crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the one thing that Isaiah does at that moment is drop and cover and cry out prophetic curses on himself. He was breaking up in the presence of the Lord. "Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm falling apart. The heat is incinerating me. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell with a people of unclean lips." We have no concept of sin anymore. It's gone in Israel. It's gone. And that's the context of this book. When we look at the Old Testament, we see God making this very clear with the people of the severity of sin and the dire predicament they're in. And the craziest thing was, still, Israel was not taking this seriously. How could you face all this chastisement and nothing going well and no one can figure out why? I'm not sure the Christian church is much different today. Are we in a great different position? Or do we just want to be entertained to death? You can't be entertained and take seriously sin. It just doesn't work. To face real joy in the Christian life, first there's a bowing of the head in humility before this God. So God says she received double for her sins. You know how difficult it would be to stand up today and say that you're receiving double for your sins? You're not listening. It's got to be one of the worst scenarios in the Bible. To which we should ask the question, what happened in the hearts of the people to get there? And the attitude of the people was, no more conviction. It was gone. Isaiah had described it back in chapter 5. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. I don't know if there's a more apt verse that describes our times. The people, says Isaiah, walk in darkness. There's knowledge of the Lord, there's no knowledge, and there's no knowledge of themselves. Those are the two crucial things you have to have a good knowledge of in life. A knowledge of the Lord to be saved and a knowledge of yourself. And Israel suffering all the sad consequences of this, Judah. But the question that I had as I was working through this tonight, what was their attitude to God through all this? I want you to understand what was the prevailing spirit of the people during this time with their God. The heart of this passage is addressing a complaint, I said, in the heart of this chapter, a complaint that stands out. You can't miss it. It's really what the Lord's answering here. A mindset had prevailed among God's people about the Lord himself. You know what it was? Verse 27. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. That's a really important complaint that is issued there. Listen, my way is hidden from God. How do you take that? God doesn't seem to care anymore. God doesn't care. He's too busy for us. He's too great to care about us anymore. There was a total loss of confidence in God's love and gospel that accompanied this careless attitude towards sin. He's not interested in helping me. You know what that produces is complete indifference to all religion. We're completely disregarded. He doesn't care. God's not listening to our prayers. God's walked away from us all. You know, in Jeremiah, that was the great complaint. The Lord said to them, keep your feet from going unshod and your throat from thirst. Here's what you said against the Lord. This is all hopeless. Deep in their cry is this suggestion. Why would God ever do these things to us? And all this, it seemed to say, this God ultimately is against us. And that we never really know if we're forgiven. And so people didn't care anymore. It's a somewhat big moment. A people who had given up. A people who had given up hope that the Lord was going to care for them. And thought it didn't even matter what they did anymore because he doesn't care, he doesn't see. You keep saying, verse 27, my way is hidden. You keep speaking this way. That's the way this translates. You keep saying this. This is your attitude. This is the spirit of the people. So what happened in the hearts of all the people? Weariness. Weariness. Weariness enveloped the hearts of the people. They saw no hope. And they saw no future. Can't you hear it in the way that the people are talking in the world right now? They see no hope, they see no power, and they see no future. What about us? What about us? Weariness had fallen on everyone, and to behold God, to think about this whole thing, you know, the fatigue was everywhere. And what was everyone looking for in the midst of all this weariness and fatigue? A Savior. Lo and behold. A Savior. Well, isn't that what everyone's looking for right now? I wonder how much more this sort of attitude will be common in the years to come. If God lets things get worse, or things do get worse, how much do you think hopelessness will turn into this spirit? In the church. So they were looking for deliverers. They were looking for, listen, this is a remarkable thing that ties directly to our time. They were looking for political heroes to save them. Verse 23 references it. You know what he does? You shouldn't do that because he brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth his emptiness. Now this is where, you think I have just a negative message for you tonight? No, it's a good message. This is where Isaiah 40 is wonderful. The Lord is essentially saying here, do you think you understand my ways? This whole chapter is calling us to challenge us to how we think of God and what we think he is really accomplishing with all of this. Do we think, God says, do you think my ways are arbitrary? Notice verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who's measured the spirit of the Lord or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult and who made him to understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? You're misunderstanding your God and you're limiting him. And that's where Isaiah 40 opens with the greatest news ever. An announcement in the midst of this darkness. a great announcement in the midst of this darkness. It's essentially as you open up Isaiah 40, the heavens are having a conversation and they're saying this. Think of all the trouble we face in life and the difficulties, and sometimes you feel like it just keeps coming and it keeps coming, and all the weariness and hopelessness. All of a sudden, it's as if heaven said, "That's enough. It's over." Here's the beauty of it. After all this idolatry, after all this darkness, it was time again for the people to hear something. And it was time again for the people to receive something. And he wants it made known. It's against this backdrop of the darkness that from the mouth of God, he commissions his pastors and prophets to go out and say something. Did you hear it? I want you to run throughout all the earth. And all of a sudden, you notice verse 6. One voice in the heaven, an angelic voice, asked the question, "What are we supposed to cry out? What do you want us to communicate to these people?" Think of all the darkness today. Think all the pain. Think all the death. Here's what I want you to say. Verse 6. All flesh is as grass, and its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are like grass. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of our God endures forever. Go tell them this. You're all dying. Do you know that? You're all dying. That's all a consequence of sin. I'm dying as I speak right now. All of us are dying. They know that from even birth. We are here today and we are gone tomorrow. If you don't believe it, just go study the lilies in the field. Go study your favorite flower, the tulip. That little bulb never lasts very long, does it? It's really a sad thing, isn't it? I'm always mad about that. Tell them they're dying. But I've got a word for them that'll last, endure forever. What's the word? What do you want us to say? What do you want us to tell people, Lord? What do you want announced to the ends of the earth? What are you like? What do you really, what is the burden of your heart to tell them? Verse 1. Comfort. Comfort my people. Pastors, speak to them tenderly. Tell them, I'll pardon Jerusalem's sin. Give them good news. Notice it. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that what? Her warfare's over. Her iniquity's pardoned. She's received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. It's over. Announce this. Announce this. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Here's what he just said. Here's what I want you to tell him. I'll get off my throne and come to him. And I'll help him. I'm coming. I'm coming. And that glory will appear. The imagery that we have in Isaiah 40 is get ready. This is going to be awesome. A royal highway will be carved out in the wilderness. Everything must get out of the way when he comes. Cast up a highway for him to ride in the desert. He's coming, and every obstacle to his arrival must be put in place and out of place must be removed, because the glory of the Lord is going to shine in this earth. Everything that is rough must be made smooth. Every mountain made low. The glory of the Lord will appear, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I have a burden that they know that. Go tell them. O Jerusalem, you who bring the good tidings. I want you to start lifting up your voice in strength. Notice he now includes it. It breaks out everywhere. Lift up your voices. Don't be afraid. Start speaking again of hope. Hope in your nation. Hope in your people. Announce it on the hills. Go stand up on the mountains and announce the hope of the Lord. What is that hope? Give them glad tidings from me. Give them a gospel from me, which means good news. I want you to tell them that the warfare's over. Tell them, ready? I've pardoned their sins, their iniquity. I've forgiven your sins. Tell them I'm coming. Don't be afraid. Behold your God. Did you see that there? Behold the Lord God, verse 10, comes with might. And how wonderful is verse 11, beloved? Tell them he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the little lambs, I think of these children tonight, in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Who? Who will do this? Your God. The answer is that God would come down and he would take on a human nature. Eternal Son of God. Give them glad tidings. Give them my gospel. Tell them that I'm coming. When? Isaiah 60, we started. The people in darkness have seen a what? A great light. Remember when the voice finally came? Boys and girls, you know the voice is, right? Hopefully we've trained you well enough now to know who the voice is. Who is the voice crying in the wilderness? It's John the Baptist. When John the Baptist arrived on the scene of history, a great day had come. He was preaching a great message. He was announcing to Israel and to the ends of the earth, repent. Turn away from your sins, for the Lord is coming. You realize that what Isaiah describes here was the preparing of the way of the Lord through John the Baptist, that when Zechariah gave that very song that we sung out, did you hear the very words of Isaiah in that very song of John the Baptist? For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins through what? The tender mercy of the Lord. What are we celebrating today? Why are we here? We're celebrating the greatest news that could ever be published in this sad world. Tell me what good news you hear today at all. The greatest news that could be announced. Shepherds one day were out in a field, and all of a sudden the glory shone around them. And the angel spoke, fulfilling Isaiah 40. And you know what he said? He said this, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace toward men of his goodwill. Isaiah prophesied that every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Ever thought about what that means? I think that has everything to do with the condition of your hearts. Look at the hardness of the human heart. Look at all the obstacles we have to people hearing this. Look at how people don't want to hear about their sin and their misery. But the people who hear are those who have had a heart change. They've been regenerated by the Spirit. And this is the best news that could ever be announced. Your warfare with God is over. You know, this is a God who, holy and just and pure, decided in the good counsel of his will to give his only begotten son to die for you? You've sinned in every way, and I've sinned in every way. And we deserve his judgment. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what the gospel's all about. The full measure of your sins, double for your sins, was poured out on him. That's what the cross is. That's what we're celebrating. Think about all the problems in the world right now, all the weariness. What has this announcement for you done today? What has it done for you today? Here's the close. He's coming again, isn't he, to judge the living and the dead. But you have no reason to be hopeless today. None. Did you notice how this psalm ends? Or this psalm, Isaiah? It's all psalm in Dr. Godfrey's eyes. But what will he do for you in your distress? What will he do for you in your distress when you look to him? Well, he doesn't faint, does he? God's not taking a nap. He gives power, verse 29, to the faint. Are you faint tonight? You burdened? And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths fail and faint and become weary. The young men shall fall exhausted under the stresses of this life. They will fail. The strongest in this life lack the strength to deal with what's coming upon them. But the one who put out his hands to you and said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest for your weary souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Isaiah 40 is telling us that a bright future is ahead for us. They who wait for the Lord, and in that wait, they shall renew their strength. For they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the promise of the Lord to all who look to this wonderful Savior whom he's provided. This is what we celebrate. This is what it's all about. This is the good news tonight. God has come to us. The warfare's over. And you know what? In all of the sins that you've ever committed, great sins, bad sins, awful sins, Jesus is sufficient to forgive them all. Understand that. And the announcement is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Tell me what's better than that. Nothing's better than that. That's what Christmas is all about. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a wonderful testimony tonight in your word of the truth of the gospel. Thank you for being so patient with us, for we know we're a lot like Israel, not taking seriously sin and not taking you seriously and letting apathy fill our hearts and just general disregard for you when you have published to the ends of the earth so great a news of salvation. Thank you for your steadfast love. And thank you for blessing your people. Bless us all tonight with this wonderful knowledge and send us out with great joy and hope in the truth of the salvation through the forgiveness of sins by Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for tuning into us here at Abounding Grace Radio. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time.